We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Welcome to the Montana State Athletics Bobcat Insider Podcast. This is your home for all things Montana State Athletics.
Tuning into the only podcast dedicated to all things Montana State University, from football to golf, cross country, track and field, and basketball. We've got you covered, whether you're listening online at msubobcats.com. Subscribe to iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or iHeartRadio. We're glad you found us. I'm Jason Alvin, your host for this episode of the Bobcat Insider. Zach Mackey will join us later to discuss Montana State men's basketball. We've got you reviewed and previewed here everything that happened with Montana State victory over Idaho State and Weber State for both the men and women, and we will preview Portland State and the University of Montana. That's all on this edition of the Bobcat Insider. The Montana State women's basketball team is coming off of one of the most impressive road trips in recent memory, as the Blue and Gold used a balanced attack to dominate both Idaho State and Weber State. The Bobcats beat the Bengals 74-55 by having six players score in double figures, while they racked up a season-high 102 points in the 102-67 victory over the Weber State Wildcats. Let's dive in a little more in depth of that win over Idaho State, as the Bengals scored the first 2 points of the contest, but Montana State responded with a 10-0 run and seized control early against Idaho State. The Cats did it behind senior wing Martha Cooter, as she scored 7 of the first 8 points for Montana State, including a 3-ball to get the scoring started. Bengals score first here, 2-0. Freegee top of the key, hands it to Cooter. 3-ball is good. Martha Cooter right off the bat with the rhythm shot, as she took one dribble with the left hand, went into right into the shooting motion, and is good. After the hot start by Cooter, the Bobcats would then keep the Bengals at bay in the first period behind Darian White. The freshman would connect for 8 points in the frame, including an incredible lay-in and subsequent free throw for the freshman from Boise. She drives into the middle, gets cut off. Braxton pumps on an 18-footer, step-through move by Blair, gets it to White. White's going to attack. White is fouled, counted for Montana State, as they're going to get Bourne reaching in with the right hand. Montana State led 22-14 at the end of the first quarter and would never look back. Madeline Smith would score the first bucket of the second quarter to give MSU their first double-digit lead, and that was followed up by a Fallon Freegee three for her first points of the contest. Freegee battling inside for position, can't find any. Now has it top of the key. She's going to square into a three ball butter for Fallon Freegee, her first bucket of the contest. 27-14, Montana State leads, 7:09 to play in the second quarter. That three ball gave the Bobcats a 27-14 advantage, and another quick bucket by Freegee and deep three by Tori Martell gave Montana State a 5-2 spurt to double up the Bengals at 32-16. Far side Martell. Martell's wide open three is nothing but net. Back-to-back threes for the Bobcats, and they lead by 12, 28-16, 8:32 to play. The Bengals would begin to push back, holding Montana State scoreless for just over 2 minutes before freshman Cola Badbear hit just her second three of the season to push the lead back to 14. White inbounds to Badbear. Badbear looks at a three. Badbear's got a three for Montana State. 35-21, second three of the season for Cola Badbear. The Bobcats would head into the locker room with the 38-23 advantage and come out in the third quarter looking to duplicate the effort from the first half. It was senior center Blair Braxton that the third quarter belonged to, as she grabbed 4 of her 6 offensive rebounds in the frame and added 8 points and an assist.
Freegee ahead of the pack to Oleana Squires, one-on-one with Diablo Conate. Pull-up jumper by Squires, spins out. Braxton's there on the offensive glass to clean it up for her first bucket of the contest. Blair Braxton gets on the board, and the Bobcats push the lead back to 15.
Montana State would continue to roll the Bengals as they would take their large lead of the basketball game on another Tori Martell triple to give MSU the 60-35 lead. The fourth quarter consisted of the two teams trading baskets as Idaho State would get no closer than the final margin of 19. 74-55 was the final. It was the first sweep of Idaho State since 2008-2009. It was the largest margin of victory in Pocatello since 17 years to the day, February 13th, 2003, when the Cats won by 20, 94-74. It was the second time the Cats have had 6 players finish in double figures, the first time since Long Beach State a season ago. Martha Cooter and Tori Martell led the way with 13. Darian White had 12, 11 from Fallon Freegee, and 10 each from the senior center duo of Madeline Smith and Blair Braxton. These were head coach Trisha Binford's thoughts on the Bobcat victory.
Montana State takes care of business here in Pocatello, 74-55, joined now by the head coach of the Bobcats, Trisha Binford. And coach, you know, coming in here, it's always going to be a tough physical game. Rebounding is always going to play a critical role in every victory or defeat. But here tonight, I thought a dominant performance on the glass, 42-27 overall. You guys outscored 15-4 in second chance points, and I thought a fantastic edge on the offensive glass.
Well, I'll tell you what, we went into our pregame talk about winning this game with 3 things on the defensive end. It started with transition defense, and then we didn't want to get pinned and sealed on the switches, on the screen action, and then we needed to finish the play. Those 3 things, I told them we will win this game. We will take care of the offensive end off of getting stops, and I thought we set the tone. We got the stops to get out and do some things and move that ball. Obviously, the turnovers weren't what we expected them to be, but as far as sharing the ball, we talked about the ball having energy, finding the open player. Just really proud of that balance that we had tonight.
Now, you mentioned the balance, 6 players in double figures for the first time since last year against Long Beach State. Just a crucial game. Again, your bench down a player, 28-4. You outscore Idaho State's bench, and really Blair steps up. Tori comes up, and it's 2 big threes early. And again, she's shooting it about as well as anybody in the Big Sky Conference right now.
She sure is. I thought Blair's minutes were pretty amazing. Cola hit a big time three as well. You know, that bench, it got a little bit shorter with Maddie not in the rotation, but we were allowed to still kind of work through that with the 4 guard rotation. So Ole spent some minutes at the 3 with Martha. I thought Martha's game too, I thought she was just so much so strong to start off that game for us. And like you said, this bench, we just don't lose a beat. We're continuing to take it up a notch. I feel like they're locked in right now. As you know, we've had some pretty amazing practices this week. The chemistry is really starting to show, and I think we just saw a little bit of a taste of what can happen when we got more multiple people on the same night.
And you mentioned the defensive pressure, ball pressure, always a big key to every game. Darian White with 5 steals. You forced them into 18 turnovers and really a solid game there. Not really letting Konate be able to get downhill and make big plays at the rim.
Well, you know, not a lot of people have a Darian that can keep that kid in front, and she's still got some. She's very, very explosive. But I tell you what, we had 16 deflections at half. We talked about that at halftime, doing a great job on the defensive end. I don't know what we finished with, but, you know, the poor defensive games, we're looking at 16 for an entire game. So we were right on track of doing the things that we wanted to do. Obviously, our attack might have started with Darian on both ends of that floor. But, yeah, we're protecting teammates right now. Did a great job keeping out of the paint. I thought we countered better on the screen action this time around. Made them work a little bit harder for that. And, you know, they're a physical team. Give them a lot of credit. We had a hard time getting some freedom of movement. So on the offensive end, we wanted to get those posts kind of slipping out wide, getting them a little bit more faced up. And I thought that's where Fallon got to get going as well.
The Bobcats would then head south down Interstate 15 to Ogden, Utah, home of the Weber State Wildcats. And what looked to be a mismatch on paper played out that way on the hardwood as well, as the Bobcats rolled to a 102-67 victory. Montana State jumped out to another quick start, grabbing an 11-1 lead early in the first quarter and kept the offensive onslaught throughout the game. Oleana Squires was the catalyst for Montana State as the senior got in her rhythm early from long range.
Squires settles in, deep three, uses the glass for Montana State, shakes her head, but it's good from downtown for Oleana Squires, 18-9.
The Bobcats would lead by 4 at the end of one quarter, 20-16, and much like the game in Pocatello, a quick burst to start the second quarter put MSU in full control. This time, it was an 8-0 run, punctuated once again by Torrey Martell from long range.
Far side Martell. Martell's wide open. 3 is nothing but net. Back-to-back threes for the Bobcats, and they lead by 12, 28-16, 8:32 to play.
After that 3 by the junior from Somerset, Wisconsin, the two teams would play nearly even the rest of the quarter as the Bobcats went into the break with a 12-point advantage, 42-30. The third quarter would get blown wide open once again by Oleana Squires as the senior from Colorado Springs would connect on back-to-back threes from opposite corners to give MSU an 18-point advantage.
Leaves it short, however, Darian White grabs another rebound for Montana State. White trying to play with some tempo, crosses over into the lane, one-handed pass, Squires, corner three, good for Montana State. Second three of the contest for Oleana Squires, and the lead balloons to 15. White's going to come here near side, looks inside, can't find Madeline Smith. Squires opposite corner three, same result for Oleana Squires. Back-to-back triples for the senior, and she leads the way with 13.
The Cats would gain another 20-point advantage after a beautiful feed from Torrey Martell to Cola Badbear on the fast break.
Martell has a steal. Torrey Martell. Martell drops it off to Badbear. Badbear pump fake and score it for the Bobcats. 21-point lead off the turnover from the Weber State Wildcats.
The 31 points in the third quarter were the second most scored by the Bobcats this season in a quarter, and the most since the third quarter of the Big Sky opener against Sacramento State when they scored 32. The fourth quarter started with another three ball from Oleana Squires as the senior connected on all 5 of her attempts on the afternoon. Montana State grabbed its largest lead of the contest after another triple for MSU, this time by sophomore Gabby Maki. Her first 3 of the season.
Looking for Maki underneath, can't get it to her, instead gets it to Cooter. Cooter is going to attack left baseline, spins in, kicks out, Maki wide open, 3 ball, got it for Montana State. Gabby Maki's first 3 of the season.
Montana State would connect on 38 baskets from the floor, a season high, match their season high with 52 points in the paint, and also matched their season high from long range with 11 three-pointers. The win was the Bobcats' 9th straight victory, their longest winning streak since the 2010-2011 season when they won 10 straight games, and they will head home back into the friendly confines of the Brick Breeden Fieldhouse to take on Portland State and Montana this week. The Vikings trending in the wrong direction right now in Big Sky Conference play. They have lost 5 straight games, 12-13 overall, 6-9 in the Big Sky Conference. They're coming off a loss Monday night against Idaho, a team they had defeated earlier in the year, 62-55. And there's some numbers that you look at for this team. in Portland State that if they hit these numbers, they're pretty good. If they don't, they're not very good. If they outshoot their opponents from the floor, they're 11-0. If they hold their opponents to under 40% shooting, they are 10-0. If their opponents shoot greater than 40%, they're 2-13. They're 6-0 if they out-rebound their opponents. They're 6-0 when they allow less than 60 points. What I'm saying here is it is key for Portland State to be really good on the defensive end. They play their 2-3 zone. They will stick with that. They have got a lot of talent. Desiree Hansen, Kylie Jimenez, Tatiana Stroin, Jordan Stotler, four of the five there for this team. Very, very good players. Jimenez was the freshman of the year 2 years ago. Desiree Hansen was the Big Sky top reserve last year. Jordan Stotler right now is coming off a game last time out against Montana State. She had 21 points. That was a new career high for Stotler. Belle Frazier and Cassidy Gardner are three-point threats from behind the arc. Gardner will generally come off the bench, but she has seen more playing time here as the season has gone on under head coach Lynn Kennedy. And you look at this team, a very dangerous team, like I mentioned, but Montana State holds the advantage as Montana State is the top field goal shooting team in the Big Sky Conference. Montana State connects on 44.6% of their shots from the floor, giving them the advantage in that category. I mentioned that 40% marker. If Portland State can hold you below 40, they're generally pretty good. They don't lose, but Portland State, sixth in the league in scoring. They average just over 67 points per game, but they're a negative 1.3 in the scoring margin. That's why they sit at 6-9, a surprise to maybe many in this Big Sky Conference is where Portland State is sitting right now. They're in the 9 spot with 6 games to go towards the conference tournament, not where they envisioned themselves being here this late in the season. They're a very dangerous three-point shooting team. They shoot it at a 34.9% clip. That is down from the first time Montana State played this team. In that first matchup, going into that game, they were hitting 39.7% of their three-point attempts. The Bobcats held them to 3 of 22 from long range, and one of those was a 75-footer at the end of regulation that was really inconsequential in the game flow of that by Kylie Jimenez. It was their only 3 of the contest. So the Bobcats need to guard the three-point line. Portland State hits over 7 per game, just under 8 per contest, do the Vikings from long range. So the Bobcats are going to have to be really good defensively. They're going to have to crack the 2-3 zone of Lynn Kennedy and this Portland State Viking team here before they have their matchup with the Montana Lady Grizz, who have had all week to prepare for Montana State. And this Lady Grizz team is one that will be looking to get a little bit of a bad taste out of their mouth. They led by 14 with 3:32 to play in the third quarter in Dahlberg Arena, had the home court advantage. Montana State closes out, holds them to 0 of 15 from the floor in the fourth quarter. Fallon Freege, Darian White really take over in that frame. The Bobcats survive a cold shooting afternoon, going 2 of 22 from the three-point line there in Missoula to come away with this 66-61 victory in overtime. Fallon Freege led the way with 27 points, 14 rebounds. Both of those were career highs for the senior playing in her first Cat Grizz game. This Lady Grizz team has won 5 of 7 coming into this contest against Montana State. They dropped a contest 72-59 at Idaho State last Saturday. It was a slow first half for both squads, really. Montana scores just 20 points in the frame. They trailed by 7 at the intermission. They tied things up, headed into the fourth quarter, but it was too much. Dora Golish goes on for 36 points. It was a season high in the Big Sky Conference, the most single game points a player had scored in league play. She goes 10 of 17 from the floor, including 5 of 8 from long range, 11 of 12 at the foul line for Golish, as Montana was led by Emma Stockholm with 20 points. Abby Anderson had 15. Maddie Schoening with 12. Mackenzie Johnston just 1 for 10 in that contest, had just 3 points for the Lady Grizz. Played all 40 minutes of that game. Well, 6 games left to go here in the Big Sky Conference play for Montana State. They tip off tonight, 7 p.m. against Portland State. It's a 6:45 pregame show all across the Bobcat Radio Network. Graham Sowell and I will be on the call of that one for Montana State and Portland State. And then on Saturday, it's the big one, the Brawl of the Wild, the Montana State Bobcats and the Montana Lady Grizz. 2 p.m. tip off for the women, a 7 p.m. tip-off for the men. We'll be on the air 1:45 with that pregame show for the Montana State women's basketball team looking to sweep Montana for the third time in 4 years. Now let's turn it over to Zach Mackey and take a look at what was in men's basketball for this past week, and he'll have a preview of tonight's game against Portland State and the Saturday game against the University of Montana.
Well, another successful week for the Montana State men's basketball team with a pair of wins last week. It was a Thursday night victory and a Saturday night victory, both inside the Brick Breen Fieldhouse. Bobcats were back at home for two games for the first time since the end of December, kind of the way the schedule has stacked up this year, that the back end of this schedule is going to be a little bit more at home. And after those two wins, the Bobcats now 14-11 overall. They are 8-6 in the Big Sky Conference right now. That contest on Thursday night against Idaho State, it's an Idaho State team that we talked about it throughout our broadcast. They just have had an unfortunate season. They've lost 11 straight here now, and a lot of those being overtime or one-possession games. They just have not been able to quite get over the hump in those really close, tight games. They've got a first-year coaching staff who's getting a lot out of their players, but yet the future is looking a little bit bright for Idaho State. They went ahead and redshirted some of their better players this season to be able to get everyone on the court at the same time next year. Bobcats ended up winning it by 4, a 73-69 victory over Idaho State. And talking with Coach Danny Sprinkle a couple of times this week, it was really a roller coaster type of game. Bobcats were up by as many as 18 at one point, and then Idaho State brought it within a four-point game. It ended as a four-point game, and had Idaho State made a couple of free throws down the stretch, we could have been talking about a totally different situation. But credit the guys, too. Shots weren't going in that second half, and honestly, those shots that were falling in the first half wouldn't go, but the guys didn't lose sight of that game plan, knew what they wanted to do, and just continued to get the ball inside. Ended up getting the victory that those never come easy in the Big Sky. And I know Coach Danny Sprinkle said to us after the post game, he's liking the way, you know, that lately you've been able to get one half here, one half there, trying to get an entire game plan together right now. What the men's side is trying to do. It was another game in which Montana State, too, out-rebounded their opponent at a really high rate. 32 rebounds compared to just 20 for Idaho State. So beat them by 12 in that category. And I know that's one of the areas that Coach Danny Sprinkle said that's one of the reasons why we were able to be in this game and continue to fight in this game, was because of situations like that. And if the Bobcats can continue to rebound like that, it's going to be needed here this week. But they'll be just fine here towards the end of the Big Sky regular season. Let's listen to some of the highlights here from First Interstate Bank from that contest against Idaho State on Thursday. And then you'll also hear the postgame comments from Coach Danny Sprinkle after the Bobcats 73-69 victory over Idaho State.
Amunadamu now, spot up three, left wing, good! He's got it! Amunadamu right on through. Amunadamu now with the basketball, right in front of the three-point line, banked her on in from the backboard and right on through. He got a little help that time, but the Bobcats back with a 4-3 lead. Idaho State trying to go inside, and Bello blocks it. He gets it out of there. Harold Frey will spot up a three from the logo. No problem. It's good. Devin Kirby standing on the left wing, hands it off to Harold Frey, who dumps it up over to Devin Kirby with a finish. 32-20, Montana State with a 12-point lead. Bello now man-to-man, down on the left block. He's double-teamed. He'll go up with a right-hand layup. It's good. Jabril Bello finishing near the hoop. Harold Frey getting the screen out of Kirby. He'll go back over to Kirby, wide open. Devin Kirby slams it in. The Bobcats running and connecting. Layden Ricketts from the wing. 62-47, Bobcats.
Welcome back here for the First Interstate Courtside Seats with Brian Preby. I'm Zach Mackey. Montana State wins it 73-69 today over Idaho State to go ahead and pick up their 13th win of the season and their 7th win in the conference to stay above 500. Coach Danny Sprinkle joining us here in just a moment on the Bobcat Radio Network here post-game. Happy coach, but one that saw a whole bunch happen on either side of it. You just can't ever know what to expect on any side, any given day in the Big Sky Conference as it stacks up right now, as Coach
Danny Sprinkle throws on a headset to join us here post-game. And, Coach, wow, what a, it seemed like three or four games all mixed into one there. A tremendous first half for your crew. And all of a sudden, you know, Idaho State hits a couple of three-pointers. They get back into it. It becomes a ball game in that second half. Your thoughts on tonight's game?
It did. I mean, I'm going to be looking like Coach Preby here in a couple of days. You guys. You know, I thought offensively Idaho State played, I mean, they hit some crazy shots. They hit a crazy and one, like tough shots and tough threes, even in the first half. I thought they probably had 15 to 17 points where, I mean, there's about a 10% chance those shots go in. And, you know, but our guys kept battling. I'm really proud of the rebound battle. You know, we were plus +8 on the rebounds, and I know they'd been focusing on that all week. I saw a couple articles from Coach Looney, and they're athletic, they're long, you know, and they attack those the boards, and so, you know, super proud of our guys. You know, I thought we have a lot of stuff we got to clean up. You know, we had 19 turnovers is unacceptable, and especially, you know, a lot of they were unforced, you know, we're just kind of bad passes, and you know, we got to get better in that aspect. But proud of, you know, Almond was great. I thought at the end, I thought, you know, Harold made some timely plays, and even late, you know, in the second half, you know, he hit some big threes to kind of stretch that lead to, you know, 15, and we needed those points, you know, at that time.
Yeah, one of the things that was weird about this game is how effortless the offense came in the first 15-20 minutes, and then over the last 10 minutes, you guys scored 3 2-point baskets, and that was it until Almond made the late 5 free throws. But 6 points over 10 minutes, you know, is that Idaho State's credit, or is that just offense wasn't happening?
Both. You know, I thought we had some good looks, and we just missed them. You know, Layton had like 3 or 4 other wide open threes. You know, Harold had a couple where usually he kind of attacks off those ball screens, and you know, it's probably a little bit Malik Porter. I mean, that joker's so athletic. You know, I mean, Harold had the one layup, and he just came out of nowhere and just blasted it off the glass. But, you know, so, I mean, we're probably a little timid going to the rim there. But, you know, I thought we still had looks. They slowed us down a little bit. You know, they ran that kind of diamond press. And then by the time we crossed half court, you know, there's only 19 seconds. And then, you know, you got to get into an action pretty quick. And when they sat in that zone, but, you know, I knew somebody was going to start zoning us. And, you know, we've been working on it. Now, we hadn't worked on the 3-2 zone that they had. They hadn't shown that all year. And but we'll be ready. It's pretty good for our guys.
Pretty crazy to have a game where you go wire to wire in terms of winning the game. I mean, literally you led for 39 and a half minutes of this ball game, and it just felt a little uneasy just because of the way it finished. A couple uncharacteristic plays down the stretch by some upperclassmen taking quick shots or shooting a free throw and missing, and, you know, just stuff that's not normal for you. But
yeah,
weird to feel the way you feel coming off a wire-to-wire win.
Yeah, no, it was. It was a long game. Like, it felt like it took forever, you know. Yeah. You know, and that's kind of the way they play. You know, they kind of mix up stuff, and they make you play ugly. They make you make plays, and I mean, fortunately, it's only a 40-minute game. I wouldn't have wanted to play another 2 minutes.
What about, too, we were talking a little bit interesting, too. At one point, it was three guys basically doing all in double figures. No points from the bench tonight. It was those starters who took care of business.
They did, and I thought they really asserted themselves in the first half. You know, I thought Jabril was great in the first half. You know, there were still some times where he just got to catch it and go up. You know, he's so explosive. He catches it, he gathers, and then teams crowd him, and you know, I mean, he makes it tougher on himself. And that's something we just got to keep coaching him. And the good thing with him is he's a sponge, and he wants to learn. He wants to learn, and teams are going to double him and do all that stuff. But he was great in the first half. You know, I thought, you know, even I thought DK, you know, played another solid game. You know, I thought he, you know, his energy and, I mean, 5 for 7, you know, 10 points, 8 rebounds. You know, I thought he was great. And so, but going forward, you know, we need our bench guys to show up. You know, Michael Paulo and Borja, you know, their energy wasn't what it had been all week, and I don't know if it was, you know, Borja got kind of taken out with some foul trouble early and never really got into a rhythm, but you know, they'll be ready Saturday.
Well, Coach, we'll talk to you Saturday. Thanks so much.
You got it. Thanks, fellas.
Coach Danny Sprinkle, we'll get a break and be back. This is Bobcat Basketball.
And I want to thank the students that came out. I heard there was 150 from the Greek life. Yeah. That was awesome. And it was a great crowd tonight.
Good crowd tonight. We're looking for another good one on Saturday. Bobcats win it. You're listening to Bobcat Basketball from Learfield IMG College.
Well, after that contest, it was back on Saturday inside the Brick Breen Fieldhouse for Weber State. It was a contest that the Bobcats were looking for a sweep. After getting a sweep of Idaho State, that meant the Bobcats were 4-0 against teams from the state of Idaho, and they were trying to get another sweep against Weber State. It would be the first time since 2005 that the Bobcats have swept Weber State, and they did it, a 77-63 victory. Not just a little margin of victory, but a good one for this squad, and a really nice quality win on a Saturday there in Bozeman, Montana. Weber State, who has struggled at times, have been a little bit up and down, and Jarek Harding had 30 points against the Bobcats last time. 21 of those came in the first half, and Harding not only has been able to score against the Bobcats, he's been able to score against everybody in the country. He is the seventh best scorer in the country right now in points per game, and he's the number one guy in the Big Sky. And he had an injury on Thursday night that set him out against Montana. They were anticipating that he would play on Saturday, and he did. In the first half, got into some foul trouble. A couple of quick fouls early on set him down for a little bit. He only had 5 points in the first half as opposed to 21 a couple of weeks back there in Ogden. He ended with 16, still less than his 22-point average throughout the season. So the Bobcat defense was able to get the job done. Some of those coming in garbage minutes there towards the half. Again, the Bobcats went to the zone defense, and boy, did it work. Last time in Ogden, Utah, all of a sudden in the second half, Montana State went on a 16-2 run, much in part because they went into a zone defense, and Weber State just totally stopped their offense. They had nowhere to be able to move the basketball. They just did not look like themselves in those type of situations, and that was where Montana State took advantage for a victory there in Ogden. And the same thing happened here a couple of weeks later. They said they had prepared for that zone the whole time, but again, struggled in the second half. Montana State didn't show the zone defense the entire first half, and then it was in the second half, shortly into it, that Coach Danny Sprinkle got his team into that 1-3-1 defense, and Weber State had no answer. That started a 16-0 run for Montana State, who was down by 5 at half. They were trailing going into the halftime, but that run just propelled Montana State to go up by 11, and they just kind of held on to that throughout the way. Big game down inside for Jabril Bello. He walked away with 23 points and 11 rebounds, and I asked Coach Danny Sprinkle a catch-at about not only that play, but his potential is still just an underclassman. It's really exciting to think about what Jabril Bello has the ability to be able to do here at Montana State with just being a sophomore. He's one of the better big men in the conference, and you're going to be able to continue to have numbers like that. The Bobcats are going to be sitting just fine. So after a pair of victories on Thursday and Saturday, Montana State sitting nice. Here's some of the highlights from that game on Saturday against Weber State. And also, we'll get Coach Danny Sprinkle's thoughts here on our Bobcat Insider.
They inbound it to Ricketts, who gets over to Borja, over to Amunadamu. Left block, up and good. Amunadamu cut baseline over to the block, and he was up and good with it. 8-8, we're back tied. That's up by three with the basketball. Here's Harold Frey over to Borja. Wide open again. Yes, no problem. Borja Fernandez with two of them early on, and he's up to six. And now Frey gets the screen over from Borja. Borja drives into the center of the lane, draws contact, shot up, no good. Bella with the rebound. The putback is there. 19-14, Montana State. 10 seconds on the shot clock. Harold will drive left. Now give it back over to Borja. Borja is hot. Three three-pointers for the freshman. Fernandez, welcome to the game. Here for the Brick Breen Fieldhouse. Amunadamu at the top of the key. 15 seconds on the shot clock. A minute 04 left to go in the first half as Harold will inbound it. Dahman down under. And Amunadamu comes up and finishes with a right-handed deal to make it 34-37. The Bobcats trail by three. Corner three on the way. No good. That time coming for Kaheem Davis, but a long rebound for Weber State. Wildcats now driving. Davis, and it's stolen. Harold Frey has it. He's got the numbers. Left-handed layup. Good. and there's your lead. Montana State ahead, 43-42 with a 9-0 run, and here comes a timeout.
48-42, Montana State with a 6-point lead. Here's the inbound,
and the put down by Jabril Bello. 50-42, Montana State just keeps on raining it on, a 16-0 run right now.
With 11:27 left to go with the second half. Harold Frey now coming off the screen. We'll give it back over to Borja Fernandez. Fernandez,
yes, he did. His fourth three-pointer of this game. He's on to double figures.
And Montana State up by five. DK's there for the rebound as the shot would not go. And now the Bobcats working this offense quick. Over to the right corner. Harold Frey for three. It's good.
Harold Frey giving a 4-point lead here in the second half.
As Harold Frey dribbling past his defender, throws it up to Bello, and Bello slams it. 71-59. Welcome you back into the First Interstate courtside seats as we are now joined with the head coach of the Bobcats, Coach Danny Sprinkle. Coach, congratulations. Nice win.
Thank you. Huge win. Huge win. Man, so proud of these guys and their energy. You know, their energy and their effort, you know, for 40 minutes. You know, there was some lumps in the first half. You know, and it was attributed to, once again, you know, our turnovers. We got sloppy with the ball. I think they had 14 points off our 6 turnovers in the first half. But, you know, their energy and us getting, you know, stops in that second half was huge.
Big thing coming out of the break. Obviously, you guys switched back to the 1-3-1. Probably expected Weber State to attack a little bit differently than they did a couple weeks ago. Talk about that impact on the course of this game.
Yeah, I mean, the 1-3-1, it just like down there, I mean, it flat won the game for us. You know, it was the reason we won the game. And, you know, it takes a lot of energy to run the 1-3-1, and I thought our guys did a really good job of playing hard. You know, we had to sub some guys in and out, but, you know, for the most part, I mean, the 1-3-1's tough because you can't really run a set offense against it. And, you know, kind of like at their place, you know, we couldn't contain them, you know, in the first half playing a man. And that was without Harding. You know, I think he was 2 for 6 in the first half, but Cody John got going and their bigs got going. And so we had to change it up again. You know, we got lucky, you know, they were taking some not rhythm shots in the second half. And, you know, fortunately for us, they missed them.
Yeah, I missed them. 2 for 22 from three, I'd say, is missing them. Yeah. Zach and I were talking at halftime. Harold, you know, Harold is Harold, and he's a fantastic player. But first half, he's pretty passive. 1 for 4 from the field, 2 points. Just didn't get himself involved. He come out early second half, super aggressive, gets the foul line, gets a three, couple assists, get on the glass. Just talk about your senior.
Yeah, I mean, he was terrific. You know, in the first half, you know, I thought he was passive. You know, I told him at halftime, you got to force the issue a little bit. You know, you got to, because when he forces the issue, it puts pressure on them. No matter if they're double team, whatever they're doing, it puts pressure on the opposing team's defense. And, you know, even in the first half, I think he still had 6 or 7 assists. You know, we were running a lot of stuff to him, and he was unselfish, but we need him to score. You know, we need him to score and get downhill and you know, him, and I thought, you know, Borja Fernandez was terrific. You know, he was terrific. You know, he 4 for 4 from three, but that's what he's capable of doing. You know, I know there's times, but he's capable. He's shown that in practice, and, you know, and even Amin Adamu played terrific.
Yeah, the other thing that I just loved about this weekend was I thought Jabril Bello had a great weekend. I mean, he must have had 10 dunks, and, you know, tonight 23-11, and he's just – he's slowed down a little bit inside. His aggressiveness, and he is right now emerging as a dominant post player as just a sophomore.
Yeah, no, he is. He's you said it. You know, it's starting to slow down for him. You know, we watch a lot of film with him, and we talk a lot about it. Like, be patient. You know, catch it, see what the defense is going to do. If they're going to come W, throw it out and repost. You know, and he's continuing to get better and better, and you know, and he's really hard to guard, especially coming off ball screens with Harold Frey. You know, because it's pick your poison either.
Yeah.
You know, it's two really good players in a good action.
Well, Coach, a great week. 2 wins for your squad. And enjoy these two, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Hey, we're definitely going to enjoy these two, at least till tonight. Thank you.
No problem. The Bobcats win it tonight, 77-263, as Montana State will go ahead and advance now overall and get their 14th win of the year. They're now 14-11 overall, 7-6 in the conference, or 8-6, that is, in the conference after getting that win tonight. That moves them into fourth place in the conference race. Great run so far for the Bobcats, as we're also going to be joined by Amin Adamu here on our post game.
Amon, thanks for joining us. You know, it was one of those games where you guys, again, switched into that zone defense, and it seemed like they didn't have quite an answer once you guys did that.
Yeah, it was something we did at their place from the start. In the second half, we went to 1-3-1, and it sort of, like, slowed them down, and they couldn't get into their plays, and it really worked out. So today's game, we did the same thing in the second half, and that really brought our energy back, and it kept our momentum going, and we kept getting a lot of steals, a lot of deflections, and a lot of buckets in transition.
And you're up at the top of that 1-3-1, and that's yeoman's work, man. I mean, you got to cover literally 20 foot deep by the whole width of the court. You must have had 5-6 deflections. How's the energy level? What's it take from an energy level to be up top on that 1-3-1?
It just takes a lot of energy. We work on it in practice all the time, and it's a tiring job, but for us to do it often in practice, it gives us some momentum, and from the energy from the bench to the court, we're all active, we're all talking, our hands are all up and getting deflections. As you saw, we had a lot of them, and it really worked out for us, and we was in our groove from there on.
What about when you're in transition too? It seems like the number of times you find it, you've got that step, towards the center of the lane, and then up with the right hand. You seem so confident in those type of situations.
Yeah, is this like all my coaching staff? They always tell us, always attack in transition. We're a really good team in transition, and no matter what, they're obviously going to end up fouling us, or they're going to have to give up something. And what we did there, our transition game is really good, with our wings running out and just spacing the floor and just getting to the rim.
What's two wins like this mean to the team now after, you know, that tough one last Saturday, but getting back to work here this week and another big week obviously upcoming?
Yeah, it means a lot. Like last week, I told the guys that we're in debt and we needed to pay rent. And we paid rent on Thursday and today. And it was good. This win means a lot. It's a big win. And now we're just going to enjoy it and then move on to the next game next week.
Yeah, well, enjoy this, and we'll talk to you again on Thursday.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's Amon Adame. We'll get a break and be back. This is Bobcat Basketball from Learfield IMG College. Well, after a pair of victories on Thursday and Saturday last week, not only did it help that record to 14-11 overall, 8-6 in the Big Sky, but it put Montana State at fourth place right now with the conference race. They're two games out of second place. Montana's lead in the pack right now, so these next six games are going to be all that much more important, as they always are. And it's kind of a crazy week. Wednesday, the Bobcats hopped on the plane to head out to Portland, Oregon, taking on Portland State for the second time this season. The first time Portland State won it in Bozeman, 77-76. That was a last-second drive down inside by Holland Woods. He got a jumper to go from the elbow, put him up by one. The Bobcats didn't have enough time to get a shot off. It was a half quarter, but just not quite the mark. I talked to Coach Sprinkle about this, too. It seems like everyone in the league has a guard that is scoring at a really high rate, someone who's able to do just phenomenal work for them, their team on the offensive side. This time for Portland State, it's Holland Woods. He had 30 points against the Bobcats, who just really didn't have an answer for him at the point guard spot. He's averaging 17 points per game at this point of the season right now. That's good enough for third in the league, but he's been really good on the offensive side. Recently, a little bit less than that 17-point-per-game average, only having 9 last week. But he'll be fired up after having a really good contest against the Bobcats last time. And Coach Sprinkle told us after the game on Thursday that he wasn't that pleased back last Thursday whenever they took on Portland State a couple of weeks back. Wasn't that pleased with how the game ended, thought their game management towards the end of the game. And he's been talking about how much he's seen that improve down the course of this season and where they sit right now, not only as a player, as the players sit, but also the coaching staff and how much more confident they are in that entire group. It's a game on Thursday at Portland State, and then it's Friday when the guys will hop on a plane, get back over to Bozeman as quickly as possible for a big one on Saturday. The Brawl of the Wild going down in Bozeman, Montana this time, and the guys are seeking revenge as Montana won it 78-64 last time in Missoula. And it was just one of those games that Montana got off to a really early lead, and Bobcats were constantly trying to fight back. They got it within 4 in the second half, really went on a run, but it just wasn't enough. Montana pulled away again, and it started with that early lead. So the Bobcat head coach, Danny Sprinkler, said, we've got to get that huge jump right away in the beginning. And so much about basketball is trying to dictate the pace of the game. And when you
take a look back at that Montana State game in Missoula. It turned into a game that the Bobcats really didn't want. It turned into a run and gun down the court, three pointers. I mean, when is this Montana team going to ever hit 11 three-pointers in the first half again? The ability to be able to do that was the best they've done this season at that mark. But while Montana State would like to work at a little bit slower of a pace, go down inside of the big guys and try to work it down to the paint, and that's where Coach Danny Sprinkle says they think they can make the adjustments, is going down into the paint, playing their own type of game that they want to play and not worry so much about what's happening on the other side. Harold Frey scored 37 points. That was a new career high against Montana. He was as good as it gets. Tried to will the Bobcats to a victory by himself right there with the team on his back. Points weren't coming. So it's going to be the really decision of everybody to be able to get behind Harold Frey and try to get a lot of scores. Last week against Idaho State, we saw a lot of different guys be able to score. Guys that maybe aren't usually in those double figures type of mention. But Harold Frey, one of the all-conference guys coming in the preseason poll, has played like it all season long. And, you know, you got to get a good play out of him, but trying to see if the other guys can match it on the offensive side. And also Saeed Pritchett scored 24 points for Montana last time in Missoula, and he's just such a difficult guy to be able to guard. That's going to be one of the major things we'll look to, is how the Bobcats go up against Saeed Pritchett, who is a four-man who can post you and get physical down inside, but he can bring the ball down as a point guard too. So he's got the ability to stretch the court. He can play a lot of different positions, and he's got a lot of interesting different areas that he's able to play, different things he's able to do that many players in this league can't. So it's going to be one of the big matchups down inside. How do the Bobcats line up with Saeed Pritchett, who again scored 24 points, has been really good down inside for that Montana group. It's going to be a great environment inside the Brick Breen Fieldhouse. We're anticipating a complete sellout in Bozeman, Montana, to watch the Brawl of the Wild go down for another time, or the second time this season, for the first time in Bozeman. So a lot of good basketball last week with two wins, and the Bobcats hoping to translate that into two more wins on Thursday and Saturday this week. That Portland State game is tipping off at 8 o'clock. The radio broadcast will start up at 7:30 with the pregame. And on Saturday, the Brawl of the Wild will start up at 7 o'clock with myself and Brian Preby starting things up at 6:30 across the Bobcat radio network. For the Bobcat Insider, I'm Zach Mackey.
Listening to the Bobcat Insider. Be sure to stay up to date with all things Montana State Athletics by visiting msubobcats.com and by following the Cats on social media on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram using the handle msubobcats. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Bobcats Sports Network.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.